Shear from Thursday, September 22nd, 2022, Gittin Shear 7. The original recording was unfortunately did not come out, so I am re-recording Bekitzer, what I said in Shear this morning. We opened by discussing where we left off, which was the whole inyan of Afal Pikain returning the chov even after Shemitah, and we left off with a machlokes, which we'll put on the board, whether when that chov is returned, is it a matana bi'alma, or is it the Geder Piraon, or is it actually paying the Chov, meaning is there just a coincidental Matana for some sort of ethical idea of repaying good with good, or is it actually repaying the loan even though you don't have to? And this brought up a very, very fundamental Hakira about the very nature of Shemitas Ksafim. This is a question that comes up whenever we have these mominous ideas that are don't seem to be fair and even and just from a purely financial perspective, really seems to be like doing someone a favor. Is this still within the realm of mominos, of who owes whom money? Or is this really not a matter of mominos and who owes whom money, but more of just an obligation to be, to do something nice? You have a similar chakir about tzedakah we discussed last year. Similar chakiras when it comes to ribbis, and another similar chakira, much closer to home, about shvius. That's very famous, about Chlokstein, the Mabit, and the Beis Yosef 500 years ago, and the famous Shemitah controversy. The payroll shvius, when we say this hefker, anyone could take them, does that mean that what they call afkata de malka, Hashem took the payroll away? He took your produce away from you, made it hefker? Or does it mean no? Does it mean that it's your payros? You just have a chiyuv gavra, a personal obligation, to make them hefker. And that's the famous chakir here, made famous really by the Yerayim. Says the Yerayim, very, very famously, says, Chov sha'ar lov shviyas, eino rashay lov l'akva elopi malve. She goes, much l'shmito malve chayav lifroa. Very clear. I can't not pay back my loan unless my creditor says, meshamed ani. Until he forgives the loan, I still have to pay him. I still owe him the money. Rather, if I owe him the money, what's Shemitah all about? What can I do? I can just request the Bezdim to tell him to forgive the loan as Hashem commanded him. Meaning I still owe him the money. The chov is not canceled. It's not nullified. It's just a chiyuv gavra that he has to forgive it. Bezdin will tell him, you have a mitzvah to forgive. And what if the Malva doesn't want to say Meshamedani? Then Bezdin forced him. But why? Not because he's not really owed money. It's like sukkah and lulav. It's mamash as a chiyuv gavra, just like if a guy doesn't want to shake a lulav, Bezdin forces him to do a mitzvah. If a guy doesn't want to sit in a sukkah, Bezdin forces him to make a sukkah. Likewise, the guy doesn't want to forgive the loan, Bezdin forces him to do a mitzvah say, but it's just a mitzvah say on him. The loan is still completely extant. He just says mitzvah say to forgive it, and therefore he says the Urayim personally comes to a radical conclusion. Etc. He says, really only, he doesn't mean Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz Laretz, similar to what we saw from the Riyah Bar Tzaloni. He means Dayanam with Smicha, which in the old days you could have only in Eretz Yisrael, and nowadays are Dayanam without Smicha, meaning without the real, authentic, original Smicha. Our Dayanam nowadays without Smicha cannot judge a Knas, unless it's a very common thing. Beating someone else beating someone up till they do a mitzvah is more of a knas, and it's not a common case. Therefore, he says, Bizman hazeh, Bezdin cannot force the malva to forgive the loan, and the malva can actually collect the loan from the lova if he figures out a practical way to do so, because the loan is still extant. And here the Orza Rua goes ballistic on him. He says, "V'lona here, Mashiach Hashem Lova Yochol Akev Chovel Hi Malvat Shiyom Rishamet Adiela Filu Tova Bezin Lafroa Ve'Omer Eini Mishamet Lo Yoch Shalovel Dvarv." Here's the magic words of Neisha Torah Hishmi Tato. He says, "No, the Ray makes no sense. What he says that the Lova has to repay the loan. He can't refuse to repay the loan until the Malva decides to forgive it." He says, it's ridiculous. Of course the lova doesn't have to pay anything. The Torah forgave the loan, not the malve. That's the famous machlokas between the Yerayim and the Orzarua. Who else takes sides here? There's a Shut Rashba who says, we'll come back to what the Shut Rashba is actually talking about. He's talking about a guy who swears to pay his loan at a certain time. And then Shemitah comes. Does he have to pay the loan? Like he swore? The Rashba says, no, he only swore to pay the loan if there is a loan. But there is no loan anymore. What does he say? Havale kenimchal, it's as if the loan was forgiven. Why? The avkata de malka havi, malka Hashem. That avkata de malka, that Hashem forgave this loan, or if it's Rabban Hefker Bezdin, the loan is just gone. It disappeared, like the Orzabura. This is discussed in the Mordechai in our Sugya. There is a Rabbeinu Chizkiya, who starts out like the Arayim, and maybe even takes it. Not maybe, for sure. Even a little farther, Shal Rabbeinu Chizkiya Rabbeinu Avigdor HaKohen, Libi Nokvi Nistapakti, Al Maiks Ve'echshe Yenosh Ve'chavim Kvar Zayin Shonim Ve'ata Tovu Meshiv Ki Kvar Shmitaso. Right, the guy owed the money for 7 years. He came to collect. The guy said, sorry, should we discuss him? Apparently, he didn't have a proposal. The Emesh Reposek Deshmit No Hegzman Hazeh, and after all, the Reposek and the Shmitah Bazman Hazeh, even, not like the Raven in the Balamor. Ach B'Shana Shmit Lo Baiv Lo Lo Amal Lo Mishamit Ani. Okay, he says, take the Yerayim more radically. Maybe it's just a Chiyuv Gavra to forgive the loan, and since he didn't forgive the loan in the Shemitah, once Shemitah ended, there's no more Chiyuv Gavra. The Chiyuv Gavra expired. Okay, you have to work out exactly what the timing he means here is. But basically, the loan is there, it's just a Chiyuv Gavra to forgive it, and maybe he doesn't have to forgive it anymore. The Chiyuv Gavra ended. He mentioned the words Havkata de Malka. It's not clear if this is Rabbeinu Chizkiya, you know, second-guessing himself. So we'll put him in parentheses. Maybe second-guessed himself. But in any case, what does Rabbeinu Avigdor HaKohen answer? It's a heishiv. Lini shmita saksofen gibalti shashvias mishametes mei leha afish lomar mishametani. No, shvias is automatically canceled. The guy doesn't have to cancel. He doesn't have to forgive the loan. It's automatically canceled. Right? It's an avkata de malka. So what's the shamanani? That's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah the same as shamanani. And that's only in the case where he wants to return it in Matzei Shvias. But it's automatically canceled. So that's the very basic hakira, right? The philosopher Kant called this the distinction between the is and the ought. What exists versus what you're supposed to do about it. Right, says the Orza Rua and Rabbeinu Avigdor and the Shut Rashba, Tzavkata de Malka, or the Lashon HaTorah Hishmitato, or Shamat Me'elav, right? The loan is just canceled. It doesn't exist anymore. As opposed to the Yerayim, maybe Rabbeinu Chizkiya, at least at first, he says, no, it's just a Chiyuv Gavra. It's you have to be mashpat the loan. But nothing happens automatically. Okay, so is it automatic or is it something that you have to do? And of course, there are many nafkaminas of this chakira. One of them is something coming up very popular nowadays, right? Wherever you go, you're bombarded, both in social media and at least where I live, in big posters and physical posters in front of your face, wherever you go. Tzedakah campaign, lend money to us, lend money to our aniyim or whatever. And then you could be mashmin and fulfill the mitzvah say shmitas ksafim, chap a mitzvah saseh, right? Lend us money and forgive it, right? Basically, they have you write a prosbul that says, I'm making a prosbul all my loans except for this one. So, is that a good idea or not? Meaning, it's a nice idea to give money to tzedakah, you know, regardless of whether or not there's a shtick. The question is, it's always good to give, I'm always in favor of giving money to tzedakah in good causes. The question is it really an inyan to chapa mitzvah say shmidas ksafim? Of course, you know, everyone agrees you're not chayiv to chapa mitzvah say, right? But is it a mitzvah saseh? So this comes from, I think, the first source I noticed who mentioned this about 100 years ago is the Ben Ish Chai. Says Ben Ish Chai, yesh mischastim. Some people are very pious, but he means it in a good way. In Baghdad, some people, they would do it a little differently. They wouldn't write a prosbul with an exception, although it seems to me it's valid to write a prosbul with an exception. Because the Gemara's example of prosbul is, they write here, chov sheish leitzel ploni. That you specify the chov that a certain guy owes you. So if you write a prosbul for only what a certain guy owes you, and nowadays the standard prosbul says whatever anyone owes me, or you could also write for it, everyone but a certain guy owes me. Seems very logical. But they did it a different way. They did this. First they wrote a prosbul, which only covers loans up to that point, and then they lent someone money. Right? He said in his days he made this a custom, encouraged this in Baghdad, even the women. Apparently in Baghdad, now in those days, they were not so not so advanced. I guess the woman didn't have money. So he said, no problem. The woman lends some loaves of bread to her friend so she, after the prosbul, so she can do the mitzvah shmitas ksafim. That was the Ben Ish Chai chapa mitzvah shmitas ksafim. But not everyone agrees with this. Rav Shernbach and the Shachuvas on Hagos does not love this idea. Okay, he has a few issues with it. One of them is he says that it's only Shemitah's Ksafim if you could have collected the loan and now you don't because of Shemitah. If you couldn't have collected the loan anyway, then it was really not a loan, it was really Matana. And so that's nice tzedakah, but it's not Shemitah's Ksafim. He says in these things, let's say all of a sudden I would change my mind and write a prosbul that I could recollect it and then go and call the tzedakah organization and say, give me my money back. L'chorah, they would say, no. Because you knew you weren't getting it back. So then it's not really a Shemitah. Or perhaps if I lend it to an organization, the organization is different than an individual, and it's not really Shemitah. Okay, he has all kinds of technical problems. But the part that's relevant for us now is he has a fundamental objection in the Tshuva Svan Hagos. He says that this might only work according to a minority Shemitah. The Urim is the minority Shemitah here. Most Rishonim and Achronim are not like the Urim. So says Rav Shernbach, according to the Urim, what's the mitzvah say? The mitzvah say is a kiyum asay, to go and do Shemitah, to forgive the loan. So if I don't have a loan, I can't do the kiyum asay of forgiving a loan. If I do make a loan, I can do a kiyum asay of forgiving a loan. I've chapped a kiyum asay. Then the tzedakah campaign idea makes sense. The shtick makes sense. But according to Rav Shonim against the Urim, there is no, it's not me doing something. It's not for me to go do something. The mitzvah is that automatically something happens. The Torah is just saying something happens automatically. Something happens automatically. It's not called a kiyum mitzvah. Maybe it's closer to an isra say. Ah, this is what happens and you have to follow. If you don't follow it, the rules of the Torah, you violate an asay. You know, it's maybe comparable to, you know, a shabboson on yontif. If you work on yontif, you violate the asay of shabboson. If you collect your loan of the Shemitah, you violate the asay of Shamot Kabbalah Mashayadot. But there's nothing you do to be Mekayim the Asay. Or anywhere like the Rambam says, like the Tumah of a Metzorah's Mitzvah Asay. That just means there's a rule that's a Mitzvah Asay, not to do things. No mitzvah to be a Metzorah and be Tumah. It just means this rule is a Mitzvah Asay. So it's a rule that Chovos are Nishmatim. But a rule applying is not a Kiyum of an Asay. So, says Rosh Darmach, according to the Arzah Rodi Mei, maybe there is no point to lend someone money to a Kiyum Asay, because that's not a Kiyum Asay. It's just a fact. It's something that happens. It's a rule the Torah gives. But it's not a kiyumase. So that's one nafkamina. Another nafkamina could be the very fascinating discussion summarized by the Knesset HaGedola on Chosh Mishpat Simon Samach Zayin. You probably noticed, hopefully by now, that Simon Samach Zayin of Chosh Mishpat is Shemitah's Ksafim. Why is there no bracha on Shemitah's Ksafim? So first he quotes the Rashba and the Avadram. It's neither the Rashba, they both quote this famous Shuvah of Yosef Ibn Palat. Yeah, I don't know much about Yosef Ibn Palat other than he wrote the famous essay on why you say a bracha on some mitzvahs and not others, which is quoted by all the Rishonim and Achronim all over the place. Very, very, very important essay. So wherever Yosef Ibn Palat was, he was obviously very chashuv, because everyone took this as the basis of why you do and don't say brachos. You know, some mitzvahs say a bracha, some mitzvahs you don't. So what did he say? Because imbo maisa. Okay. It's imbo maisa. When there's no maisa, you don't say a bracha. However, the Knesset HaGedolah quotes the Tumim Deim. Now, just to be fair, I looked up the Tumim Deim. The Tumim Deim doesn't exactly say this. He takes one word from here in the Tumim Deim, one word from here in the Tumim Deim, and comes to a certain conclusion. So maybe it's his own pshat within the Tmim Deim. I'm not, you know, really guaranteeing that this is what the Tmim Deim. Tmim Deim is shuffling the Ravid. Mostly Simanim are written by the Ravid. Some are added from others. I'm not guaranteeing that this is what the Tmim Deim said. But this is what Knesset Gedola says, B'dasa Tmim Deim. He says, because it's totally B'yad Achirim. Some mitzvahs, you don't say bracha because it's up to other people. Maybe they'll let you do the mitzvah. Maybe they won't. You can't. You don't have the power to do it yourself. Maybe it won't really happen. You never know if you can really do it. Shash bracha latala, perhaps, right? Like tzedakah. You don't make a bracha on tzedakah, according to Tmim Deim, because it's totally out of here. Maybe the ani won't accept the tzedakah, right? Anim don't always accept tzedakah. They usually like to, but you never know. Maybe, you know, I've had anim say, that's not enough. I'm not accepting it. Or for whatever reason, who knows? You know, you did something to slight him, so he won't accept it, tzedakah, or he's in a weird mood. So therefore, and likewise other things, you know, keep it of a, maybe I'll bring my father a glass of water, and he won't want to drink it. So, says the Knesset HaGedola, there's no bracha between the stuff, and there's totally b'yad achirim. It's totally on the other guy, on the borrower. Okay, that only works for the Urayim. This Knesset HaGedola, in the name of Tmim Deim, we'll call it Tmim Deim, only works for the Urayim. According to the Rashba, it's not totally anyone. The Torah was mashmet. It just happens. According to the Rashba, it's not totally anyone else, but according to the Urayim, it makes sense. It's totally on him. I have a mitzvah to forgive. There is a loan. I have a mitzvah to forgive it, say Meshamed Ani. But it's totally on him, because he could say FLP Cain and override my Meshamed Ani. Obviously, he's making an assumption here. You might have thought, side point, you might have thought that if I say Meshamed Ani and he says FLP Cain, I was Mekayim the Assay. The Assay is just to try to forgive the loan. To offer better to forgive the loan. He's assuming, no, the assay is to forgive the loan. If I say Mishamanizi and he says Afal Pikein, that's not a key of the assay, it's a ptur from the assay. He has the right to be Michael the assay by saying Afal Pikein. So therefore, it's not totally in me. It's not totally in me. I could try to do the assay and say Mishamanizi, but if he says Afal Pikein, he's been Mochel the assay and I haven't done an assay. I've been potter from the assay, but I haven't done the assay. So therefore, the Knesset HaGedola in the name of Tmim Deim obviously holds like the Urayim. The Rashba of Yosef Ibn Palat makes a lot of sense for the Orza Rua Udi'ime. Right? Why? Because it happens automatically. It's Embo Maisa. Right? Embo Maisa doesn't mean like Lavshim Maisa, I talk instead of doing. No, you make a brach on talking. You make a brach on Halal and Sphere, so Omer and lots of mitzvahs of talking. It means I don't even talk. I don't do anything. That makes life. It happens on its own. Then Embo Maisa. Then it happens on its own. Embo Maisa. Okay. This is not a There's not being, it doesn't necessarily go two ways, because even in the Urayim could also say like the Rashba. There's no Maisa. Why? Because since in most cases, you don't even have to say Meshamed Ani, you Bedibur. Only if he offers to say Meshamed Ani. If he doesn't offer, you could just be Mocha Belave. So really, the Urayim could go either way. He could say Imbo Maisa, because you're Mocha Belave, unless he shows up with money. Or he could say like the Tmim Deim, because it's up to him, because he could refuse to let the loan be forgiven. But the Orza Rua, for sure, I'd have to say like the Rashba, that it is Ein Bo Maisa. Another great nafkamina is Chereshot V'Katan. The Chinuch, the Minchas Chinuch, is sure like the Orza Rua. It's the most posh thing in the world. The Orza Rua is right. He doesn't need to prove it. He doesn't need to be shown him. Tim, it's posh. And then he just gives a few nafkaminas. Two nafkaminas we'll mention. One is a great example. What if the Malva is a Chereshot V'Katan? He's part of a mitzvah. So what would you say? If you say like the Orza Rua, that it's automatic. It's automatic. Who cares if he's Pater Chai from Mitzvahs? The rule is Chovas disappear. But if you say like the Urayim, then the Chovas, no, Hashem doesn't do anything. He tells you to do something. You are Chayiv to be Mashmet the Chov, Meshamet the Chov. But Chereshot V'Katan can't be Chayiv to do anything. He's Pater Mitzvahs. The Chereshot V'Katan, there's no Shemit that can collect his Chov. This seems like enough Kamina that proves the Chakira. Because Mefur's Naf Lamed Zayin Alav at the top. Yisomim Yitzvikim Prozbol. Why? Because Birmingham Leal Beis Dinam is Avim Shel Yisomim. Yisomim can collect the loan after Shemitah without a Prozbol. Why? Because they have an automatic Prozbol. A Prozbol is that you give your stars over to Beis Din. The Yisomim's business is always given over to Beis Din. Because Beis Din is the guardian of Yisomim. It's like that in countries nowadays too, in America and wherever. If there are Yisomim Ketanim, who have no parent to take care of them, then Beis Din appoints a guardian. Beis Din is responsible for them. So therefore, but what do we see from here? That really Yisomim, and obviously we're talking Yisomim Ketanim. We don't mean 20-year-old people who 20-year-old children who inherit their parents. 20-year-old court, the Beis Din's not in charge then. The Beis Din only in charge you until Bar Mitzvah, then you're on your own. So what do we see? That ketanim are fundamentally chayim shvitas ksafim. They just have an automatic prosbol. So this is a great proof for the minchas chinuch that the chov of a shechir shadvigan would be nishmat if not for this automatic virtual prosbol, which proves like the tzad of the urza ruah. But some of the achronim notice this and they say, no, it can't be such a pasha proof like the urza ruah. What was the Reim thinking? So both the tumim and the Gilyon HaShas, the Tumim, is in the 1700s, Rabbi Yonos and Ibeshitz. The Gilyon HaShas is in the 1900s, Rabbi Yosef Engel, from before the war, in Europe. They both say, no, there has to be a Hezber for this Gemara, even according to the Reim. What would the Reim have to say? They answer up for the Reim. They say, really, according to the Reim, Avada Lechovave, if a Chirashot of a Katan is owed money, meaning he's the Malveh, if someone owes money to a katan, it's not nishmat. The katan part of shmita is ksafin. It's a chiyuv gavra, and he doesn't have a chiyuv gavra. Of course, the katan is exempt from shmita is ksafin. What's the case of the Gemara in Tafadaf Lam Zayin and Aleph? That's the case of katanim shinis gadlu, katanim who then became bar mitzvah. Then they're chayiv shmita is ksafin, and that's when they should be chayiv, because now they're bar mitzvah, and they're chayiv in a chiyuv gavra. And then they need this automatic virtual principle of that the Bez Din is automatically their apotropos, automatically in charge of them. So it's an automatic principle or automatic principle equivalent in order to be able to collect their loans. Okay, there's a slight difference between the Tumim and the Gilyon HaShas, which is very significant, but we're not getting into it now. The Tumim says, what's the case where there would be Chayim Shmitas Ksafin? But since the Bez Din is in charge of their affairs, their potter, when they grew up, and then Shemitah came. They grew up, and then Shemitah came. Of course, now they have a Chiv Gavra. But since once Beis Din was in charge of their loan, it's Beis Din remains involved forever, and they have an automatic prosbol. The Gilyon HaShas says, no, it's when Shemitah came, and then they grew up. Since when Shemitah came, Beis Din was in charge of their loan, it's an automatic prosbol. But if not for that, they would be Chayiv, because now that they grew up, the Chiv Gavra is chal on them. Okay, that's a bit of a double machlokas. Whether the Chiv Gavra is chal on you after Shemitah, if you're still owed the money, is one machlokas. And whether Beis Din being in charge of your loans before Shemitah still lasts to count as a principal during Shemitah is another machlokas, but we're not going to get into that now. You can iron on that on your own. A fourth nafkamina, similar to Chirshot V'Katan, is Nashim. After all, what's the Havim Yipater Nashim from Shemitah's Ksafim? Right? I mean, this is not a live machlokas. Everyone agrees, every posek, every rishon, every achron agrees that women are chayim and shmitas ksafim. If I owe money to a woman, she has to be mishamit the chov after shvias unless she writes a prosbol. So a woman who lent money needs to write a prosbol. But why? After all, it's a mitzvah shaman grama. It comes every 7 years. Aren't women potter of mitzvah shaman grama? So says the Gilyon HaShas, this depends on the Chakira. According to the Urz, women are potter from doing a mitzvah shaman grama. They're not potter from, they're potter from chiyuve gavra, chiyuvin. They're not potter from facts, right? A fact is a fact. You can't be potter from a fact. So therefore he says, no. According to the Urz Aruah, it's pashat why women are chayim shvitas ksafim, because it's a fact. It's not something you do. It's just something that happens. So there's no potter of mitzvah shaman grama for something that happens. He says, that's Pasha, and that's the second answer. According to the Urza Ruah, no problem. It's Pasha why they're Potter. But according to the Urim, it's Mamash Chiv Gavra. The Torah commands you, the Torah doesn't say something happens automatically. It's not automatic for the Urim. The Torah tells you to do something. So why is a woman Chayiv to do it if the Mitzvah Seish Man Grama? So you have to give a technical answer. And I put two technical answers on the Makorah sheet. I'm sure there are more. One is the Sefer Amak than Kiddushim. He says, since it's not a Mitzvah Seish Man Grama purely, it's also a Lav, Shamot, and Lo Yigos. Since it's an assay and a lav, now this is very complicated. Big machlokas in the Rishonim. If there's an assay and a lav, do we say since a woman's potter from the assay, she's also potter from the lav? Or no, since a lav and an assay, she's chayiv in both? Or split the difference? Says the Sefer Amakdin, no, whenever there's an assay and a lav, that's not the rule of, that's not a mitzvah seish man grama, it's a mitzvah assay plus lav, she's man grama, and women are chayiv. Women are chayiv in combined assay and lav, and she's man grama, so that's why a woman's chayiv. The Gilyon HaShas, in his first answer, which is for the Urim, gives another technical answer. He says it's not really called Zman Grama, meaning women are potter from mitzvah Zman Grama. The Sefer Amak says it's Zman Grama, but it's not mitzvah Zaseh. The Gilyon HaShas, in this answer, says it's mitzvah Zaseh, but it's not Zman Grama. Why not? Because the mitzvah starts at Zman, Shemitah, but it never ends. forever I'm chayv to forgive the loan. If the next day he comes to repay me, I have to say mishamed ani. If a year later he comes to repay me, I have to say mishamed ani. If 5 years later he comes to repay me, I have to say mishamed ani. The chiyuv starts at a time, but has a starting time and has no ending time. And he says when it has a starting time and no ending time, that is called mitzaseh she'ein hazman grama. Okay, this is one of the most classic answers to the famous question that Rishonim asking Kiddushin. The Gemara darshins that a woman's potter from giving her son a bris milah. Tosas asks, why do you need a drasha to potter women from bris milah? It's a mitzaseh she'ein grama. It only applies on the eighth day. Okay, so the most classic answer is exactly as Gulyon Shas. No, bris milah is not a mitzvah sheman grama. I'm only start to be chayev when my son's 8 days old, but I stay chayev forever. If I haven't given a bris yet, I'm chayev a day later, a year later, I'm chayev 10 years later. The chayev has a starting time and no ending time, and therefore it's not called zman grama. Okay, so that's a good nafkamina. A fifth nafkamina could be a fascinating discussion in the sugya in Makos. The sugya in Makos Daf Gimel has a machlokes, has two lashonos there. It's very complicated. About what's called malve es chaver le'eser shanim. If I lend you money for 10 years, what's interesting about lending you money for 10 years? For sure, a shmita is going to come, so I can never collect again. Before I assume there's no such thing as prosbel. So is that nishman or not? The basic question is: if a loan is not yet due, does shmita apply or not? That's machlokas. One day it says, Shemitah, Shemitah, the loan is forgiven. I don't care whether it was due yet or not. The other one says, no, it says, lo yigos, don't collect. That means it is collectible. If it's collectible because the due date has come, then Shemitah is meshamet. If it's not yet collectible because the loan's not due yet, then Shemitah is not meshamet. So if like today I lend you money and I say, I'm lending you money for 30 days. I have no right to ask for it back for 30 days. Okay? So that's machlokas. Do we say Shemitah is meshamet or no? Since it wasn't payable yet, Shemitah is not Meshamet. Okay, we paskin, by the way, the Shemitah is not Meshamet. We paskin Lakula. That I can collect the date. Shemitah is not Meshamet. That is the way your Benu Tam made Agah, right? It's mentioned in Tosos. Tosos of Makos Daf Gimel. Amid Beis, our standard yeshiva guy reads the Tosos, doesn't really understand what's going on and moves on. He asks his rabbi. His rabbi also doesn't understand what's going on because it's about Piyutim and moves on. And the Ritva mentioned this. Our Benu Tam was Magia the Piyut. I think it was Rabbeinu Eliyahu wrote a Piyut. There's a Piyut called Azharos. For Shavuos, you can find them in, not in our standard Machzorin, but in the fancy ones. There's a piyut they used to say on Shavuos, in all, Sfarad Ashkenaz everywhere, that has a poetic summary of the 613 mitzvos. That's what the Sefer Mitzvah of Sadia Gaon was, that Rabbi Yochanan Fritzl Perlau wrote a, you know, I don't know, 1,500, 2,000 page, whatever, Perush on. It's like a two-page piyut. In the Siddur of Sad Yigon, you can find it. It's the Piyut for Shavuos in the Siddur of Sad Yigon. I have a Siddur of Sad Yigon at home. It's a couple of pages there. Okay, now it's 2,000 pages with the Perush of Rav Yochanan Fritzl Perlau. Okay, I'll tell you the secret. He didn't really write a Perush on Rav Sad Yigon's quote-unquote Sefer HaMitzvos, meaning Piyut for Shavuos. But it's a great Sefer anyway. In and of itself. Anyway, back to this. Rabbeinu Eliyahu, I believe it's Rabbeinu Eliyahu's Piyut. He wrote, he was up to Zion, Zman Eser Kesef Ki Yalvenu. If someone lends someone money for Zman Eser for 10 years, Bachatzi Yomav Yazvenu. Bachatzi Yomav Yazvenu. He has to abandon the money in half the days. Meaning halfway through the loan, he has to abandon his loan and he can never collect. Okay, this is a classic piyutim, because the Paitan takes a phrase from Tanakh and like repurposes it in a clever way. There's a pasuk in the... Hopefully you all remember it. Haftar of Bechukosai, right? Okay, we're all yeshiva brachim will listen here. So we're potter from knowing Nach, right? Just because it's the word of God is not enough to mechayev us to learn it. But Haftorahs, we know, because we hear them in shul. So it says in Haftar of Bechukosai, right? What is it? Kori Dagar v'lo yalad osa osher v'lo v'mishpat. Someone who makes riches, who enriched himself unjustly. He rips people off and steals, cheats and lies and steals. He'll lose his money in half his lifetime. He won't die rich. Hashem will punish him. Halfway through his life, he'll lose all the money, and then he'll die, discredited. So, cleverly, Rene Leo says in the Piyot, b'chatzi yomav yazvenu, not chatzi yomav of a person, like in the Pasuk, chatzi yomav of the loan. Halfway through the loan, you have to forgive the loan. You lose the loan. Okay, because he paskin that milvul es hashanim shvitim shamat. So Rabbeinu Tam paskin not that way. We pask like Rabbeinu Tam. So what did Rabbeinu Tam do? He's makia the piyut. He says the piyut has to reflect halacha. Can't just have stam a poem. We have to paskin like the piyut. So the piyut has to match what we paskin. So he added zman eser kesef kielvenu velo b'mishpa b'chatzi yom av yazvenu. It's not in the halacha. It's not the halacha that you have to lose your loan halfway through. And this was Rabbeinu Tam was even more clever than Rabbeinu Eliyahu, because that's the pasuk. Osa osher velo b'mishpat v'chatzi yom av yazvenu. Osa osher velo b'mishpat. Someone who makes rich, who makes money unjustly, v'chatzi yom av yazvenu, says Rabbeinu Tam, I can put another word from that same pasuk and fix it up. It's not the mishpat that chatzi yom av yazvenu. Okay, very clever Rabbeinu Tam. He was a great paitan. Even though he was obviously more famous for founding Tosos. Anyway, back to our regularly scheduled programming. What's the halacha in this case? They argue. Now, part of the machlokas we're not getting into now is what Elishtakam and Elishtabasra and Rava and we're working through the Kloli Apsak. The interesting part is, let's assume there's no Kloli Apsak, which is what the Ritva assumes. It's just a suffix, machlokas. How do you pass him by suffix shmitas ksafim? Do you say... Now, what's interesting? Suffix shmitas ksafim is manazeh. Do you say suffix drabanan lakula kishmitas ksafim is drabanan bizman hazeh? Or do you say hamot mechaver olav araya? If you would say suffix shmitas ksafim lakula, that means suffix shmitas ksafim lakula, there's no shmitas ksafim, there's no shmita, you pay the loan. But if you'd say hamot mechaver olav araya, suffix mamon hamot mechaver olav araya, then that means he doesn't have to pay the loan. So which is it? So the Ritva quotes Machlok, he says, Yei shomer motzi mechaver olav araya, you don't have to pay the loan. And I'm not sure that Yishomer is, but Beis Yosef thinks that's the sheet of the Rif. The Rif doesn't say this logic, he just says the Psak, and the Beis Yosef assumes that that's the logic of the Rif. So the Rif will feed the Beis Yosef, is the Yishomer in the Ritva? Quite possibly, that's who the Ritva meant. Hamotzi mechaver olav araya, you don't have to pay. But the Ritva quoted that the Ramban said, and the Ritva seems to agree, and the Rush also says, that's quoted in the Beis Yosef there, and you can find it right there in Makos, says, no, Safek Yeron Lekula, Safek Yeron Shmita Ksafim, there's no Shmita Ksafim. This Lich Ora should depend on this Chakira. Right? If you say, like, yours are Ruah, it's a fact. The loan is canceled. So he's a Safek, whether the fact is the loan is canceled or the fact is the loan is still there. Okay, suffic if he owes money or doesn't owe money as a fact, as a chalos memela, suffic whether memela owes money or not, that's a suffic about money. Suffic about money, that's a suffic about Araya. You don't have to pay the loan. That's the riff and the Yishomer and the Ritva. However, according to the Urayim, no, it's not a suffic whether he owes the money or not. It's a suffic whether he's chayav to forgive the loan or not. Ah, suffic whether you're chayav to do something or not. If it's drabon and suffic drabon and lakula, you don't have to forgive the loan. That's the Ramban and the Rashba and the Rush. Another great nafkini could be a discussion that Rav Shlomo Zalman brought up here. What about time zones? What about time zones? This could be halach lemaisa. I don't know. There's a guy right now, as we speak this morning, there's a guy in Torzion program who's flying back to Panama for to his parents for Yontif. So what if he lent me money? And he goes back to Panama. And I don't know what the minhag is in Panama. You know, who knows? Maybe Sundays they like to do things there. You know, it's chutzlars. Maybe they like to do things at lunchtime Sundays. Could be. So he goes into shul at lunchtime, 12 o'clock. They're sitting writing prosbols. Says, great, let me write a prosbol. Right? Before Yontif starts, still not the end of Shvias, let me write a prosbol. When he writes the prosbol, it's already 7 o'clock here. There's 3 stars in the sky. It's dark outside. For me, it's Rosh Hashanah. It's the 8th year already. So he comes back, says, I wrote a prosbol in time, give me back the money. And I say, what do you mean? By the time you wrote a prosbol, it was already Shmitas Ksafim by me. I don't owe the money anymore. Who do we follow? Do we go by the time zone of the Lover or the Malva? That's where Shlomo Zalman and many posts can discuss. Truth is, a third possibility also. I saw someone wanted to suggest maybe you don't go by the time zone of the Malva or the Lover. You go by the time zone of Yushalayim. Because Shmita is compared to Yovel, right? Like we saw in Neflam Vav and Aleph, and Yovel depends on the Bez and Agadol blowing the shofar in Yerushalayim. Okay, could be. Okay, maybe we'll stick to the Malva and the Lova. So, whose time zone does it go by? So, I think one thing's for sure: if you hold like the Urayim, it's a Chiv Gavra on the Malva. Nothing happened. The malva has a chiyuv. So if the malva has a chiyuv, depends on the malva, obviously. Chiyuv is chal when the seventh year ends and Rosh Hashanah starts for the malva. So then we go by the times of the malva, and if David wrote a Shemitah in Panama while it was still in time for him, then he is good. But if you would say like the Orzarua, that it's just a chalos v'meila, then I think, I don't really know. I think anything's possible. Maybe you could say you should go by the lovix. The chalos should be chal on the place where the shibur exists. And the shibur is on the guf of the lova. Or maybe you'd say it goes by the malva. Maybe you'd say it goes by Yerushalayim. Find some objective measure. I'm not sure. But if you would say like the Orzarua, you could say it depends on the lova's time zone. If you say like the Urim, it has to depend on the malva's time zone. Okay, Nafgamina number 7, the fascinating discussion of the Shut Rashba. The Rashba asks, the Gemara says later on, next Gemara, Lamazayim Beis, if I claim I had a Prozbal unbelieved, most of the Rishonim say, like Tosos right on the side there, I don't even have to swear. I just win. I claim I have a Prozbal, I win. Says the Rashba, the truth is not so pashut. There are some Rishonim might say I have to swear later on the Makoros. But, says the Rashba, maybe you have to swear, maybe you don't. Okay, he assumes mainstream Rishonim. I don't have to swear. At least can he put a Chirim Stam on me? What's a Chirim Stam? Chirim Stam is like a mini, mini, mini Shvua. In a case where you sue me, if you have enough evidence, I have to pay you money. If you have a little less evidence, then I don't have to pay you money, but I have to swear that I'm telling the truth. If you have a little less suspicion than that, then you can't even make me swear. You can't even make Bez Din put a specific curse on me. Chirim really means a curse. They can't say, we're making a chirim on you if you're lying. But maybe they can make a chirim stam. Stam means anyone who lies about something like this, we're putting a chirim on without mentioning any name in particular. Okay, that's the weakest type of, you know, shvua type way of resolving something. Maybe I'll be afraid of this chirim, because still, if I fit the category they're describing, I don't want a chirim on me. So maybe I'll give in. And maybe I'll admit the truth if I'm lying. Okay, Besedu. The Rashi asks, you put a chirim stam? And then compared to the other case, says there enough evidence? How much evidence is there? You know, but he assumes it's shayach to sue the guy. Everyone agrees you can take the guy to Bez Din. But what's certain is he assumes it's shayach to sue the guy and make him, if you can't make him swear he wrote a prozbul, at least put a chirim stam that anyone who lies about writing a prozbul, we're putting a chirim on. Okay, to me, I think there's a clear nafkamina. What are we arguing about? According to the Arzarua, we're arguing about who owes who money. I claim I don't owe him money. Sorry, I claim he owes me money. He claims he doesn't owe me money. So he can put a chirim stam on me because we're arguing about whose money it is. And he has the right to put a shvua on me, to at least put a chirim stam on me that I'm telling the truth. If you're arguing about who gets whose money, you have to put a chirim stam. That's the Rashba. The Rashba l'shitaso, that it's Ein Bo Maisa, that it's Afkata D'Malka. But I think, according to the Urayim, I haven't seen anyone discuss this, but I think it's Pasha, it wouldn't be so. The Urayim, yes, there's a court case about this, whether someone has to do a mitzvah say or they don't have to do a mitzvah say, whether it's like Sukkah and Lulav. I understand. If I say you didn't build a Sukkah and you say, if I say you didn't shake a Lulav and you said you did, can I put a Shvur or a Chirim on you that you shook a Lulav? If I say my son wasn't Mechavmi and he says he did, he was, can I put a Shvur, a Chirim Stam on him? No, that's a Chiv Gavra. You can't put a Chirim on someone to a Chiv Gavra. That's only for suing for money. So I think going to the Arayim, it's Pasha that it's not Shayat to make him swear that he's Potter Shvitas Ksafim, or put a Chirim on him that he's Potter Shvitas Ksafim. It's his Chiv Gavra. I can't sue someone and put an oath on them for whether they did a Chiv Gavra, only for if they owe me money. So this could be a 7th nafkamina. An 8th nafkamina. And this is going back to something we discussed earlier. I want to go back for a moment to Daf Lamed Vav. Remember, you know, go back and chazer your notes. The famous Machlokes Rashi and Tosos. Let's call it Rashi and the Ravid versus Tosos and the Rambam. About whether Rava is going back to the first question, only the second question. When Rava says Hefker Bezen Hefker, is that answering the question of how can Hillel make a Prozbul? Or no, that's not a good answer. That's answering a different question. But Hillel could only make a Prozbul because of Abaye's reason, because Shemitah's Darabanan. Meaning, remember we had a whole board about this, maybe even two. If Shemitah was D'Oraisa, would Hefker Bezin Hefker be Mater Takanas Hillel of Prozbul? Can Hefker Bezin Hefker override Shemitah's Ksafim on a D'Oraisa level? And the simple pshat is like Rashi and Rai, but it can. What do you mean? Even in Dine Mamanas Dor Reisa, Chazal can override it. So what did Tosas the Rambam? Remember, we had three Mahalchim. Mahalach one was that Tosas says, Shemitah, Tosas himself, Hefker and Hefker can override Shemitah, but it's pasnish. It's wrong to like be ogre something in a Torah, even if you could. Second Derech is based on the famous Machlokas Rashi and Yonah. You probably think an assumption about Isser here also, but the Rashba said, the Rashba was a Rashi Raivid man. The Rashba said, Hefker ben Hefker can take away someone's money and give it to someone else. And Yonah and Baba says, no, can take away someone's money, but you can't give it to someone else. So maybe that's shot in the Rambam. Why is Hefker ben Hefker not able to overwrite Shemitah Daraisa? Because they can take away someone's money, but it can't make them owe it to someone else. The third Derech of the Torah's rhyme, based on the Kasha of the Pnei Yeshua, because of the Isser B'davar. Besides any Mamanist perspective on Shemitah's Kesafim, there's an Isser of Lo Yigos and Achi of Shamot. He focused on the Isser Lo Yigos. There's an Isser. Who cares who gets the money? Even if you have the right to the money, it's Usser to take it because of the Isser Shabo. And that's why the Rambam says Hefker Bezdin Hefker cannot override Shemitah Daraisa. He says, Prozbul only works when Shemitah's Darabanan. In the days of Shemitah Daraisa, Prozbul can't work because even Hefker Bezdin Hefker cannot make Prozbul work, cannot override Shemitah's Ksafim. Why? Because even though it gives you the right to the money, there's still an Isser of Lo Yigos. Okay, so what did Rashi and the Ravid say back? We had three explanations on the board there. One was the Torah Zrayim, they would say, the reason Hefker Bezdin Hefker can override the Isser is because it's as if you already collected, so you're not doing the Isser anymore. The Hefker Bezdin Hefker is that you already collected, not that you can collect. Or we said a second shot for the Menei Yeshua, because you can't collect. But Hefker Bezdin Hefker means Bezdin is collecting, and Bezdin is Potter from Lo Yigos. Or the other explanation of the Pnei Yeshua, Lo Yigos is only you can't collect a loan. But through the Hefker Bezdin Hefker, they're not making you collect your loan. They're making an entirely new obligation, and like a ki'ilu, a new out of thin air right for you to collect that has nothing to do with a loan, quote unquote. And therefore, it's not Lo Yigos because it's not a loan. Okay, the Seder. So the Rambam thinks even Hefker Bezdin Hefker doesn't take away the Isser of Lo Yigos. You're still collecting. And Rashi and Rambam at 3 A, B, and C. Either Lo Yigos means you can't collect, but you already collected. Or Lo Yigos means you can't collect, but Bezdin can. Or Lo Yigos means you can't collect a loan. But now Chazal didn't make it a loan. They made it a new obligation, which is not a loan, which just happens to be a Xerox of the loan. However, he could say, now this could say there's already 1, 2, and 3, and then within 3 there's A, B, and C, I'm making a 3D. I'm not saying this is obviously far from Mokhrach, it's a possibility. Although I noticed the modern day Sfarim, they like this possibility, because they like to tie things into famous Chakiras. But maybe you could say they're arguing about this Chakira. How so? 3D. The Rambam says, Hefker Bezdin Hefker doesn't help, because you still have an Isser of Lo Yigos. What might Rashi and I would say back? Maybe they say there is no Isser of Lo Yigos. What do you mean there is no Isser of Lo Yigos? Meaning, if you take the Orzarua, you could take him in two ways. We'll mention this again. You say the Orzarua says it's Afkata de Malka, plus it's also an independent Isser. Or you could say, no, it's just Afkata de Malka, you don't owe the money. What does Lo Yigos mean? It means it's Usher to take money that doesn't belong to you. Lo Sigzo means Usher to take money that doesn't belong to you in one context. Lotigno means us to take money that doesn't belong to you in a different way. Lotashok means us to take money that doesn't belong to you in a third way. And Lo Yigos means us to take money that doesn't belong to you in a fourth way. But there's no independent Isser. It's just us to take money that's not yours. But it's really just Dine Mamanos. If it's, you take the Orzarua, say, not just that it is of Kata Malka, it's purely of Kata Malka, and there's no other aspect of Isser. The Isser is just to take money that's not yours. So if it's purely Mammon and not Isser, then Rashi and the Ravid makes sense. Hefker Bezdin Hefker takes away Shemitah's Ksafim because it gives you the money. And maybe Rashi and the Ravid would say, like the Orzarua, it's purely money. If it's purely money, Hefker Bezdin Hefker can take away Shemitah's Ksafim. Well, maybe the Rambam would hold that it's not purely money, like the Urayim. There's an Isser B'davar. Or they could also hold this Fading. That it's money and Isser. There's an Isser of Lo Yigos. Forget about who gets, whether you deserve the money. There's an Isser. Urim says you do deserve the money, and that's Gufoy. There's an Isser of Lo Yigos. Hefker Bezdin Hefker can give you money, but it's still an Isser of Lo Yigos. And maybe that's the Machlokes, if it's a matter of an achalos memela afkata de malka, hefker bezen hefker can reverse that afkata de malka, can give you back money. But if it's an isser, the loan is there, it's just usher to collect, then hefker bezen hefker can make it can make you have the right to collect. But you already have the right to collect, just usher to collect. You have a chi of gavra to not collect. So hefker bezen hefker can't take away the chi of gavra. Okay, one last ninth afkamina before we erase the board is another aspect of daf lamed vav amud beis. I should have put the Rosh but top of daf lamed vav amud beis on the Makoros. There's a discussion here, says Abaye, not about Prisbel overriding Shemitah's Ksafim, about making Shemitah's Ksafim in the first place. The Gemara asks, how could the Rabbanan make Shemitah's Ksafim if in the time there's no Yovel, there's no Shemitah's Ksafim in a Torah? How could they make a Shemitah's Ksafim? After all, the Torah says you pay back your loans. How could the Rabbanan make a Shemitah's Ksafim and tell you not to pay back your loans? So the Abaye says Shevi Al Tasa, they're allowed to go against the Torah passively. Shevi Al Tasa, and Rava says something else. Hefker isn't Hefker. It's interesting. Is Rava just stop saying something else, or does he think it's Kumbase? Okay, that's radical. I'm not sure. I can't promise you. But says the Rashba, there's two machlokos here. One Havamin it's Kumbase versus the Rashba says, what's the Havamina? Before Abai says that being Meshame to Shevi Al Tase, the Havamina is that it's Kumvase. Why is it Kumvase? Says the Rashba, Kumvase L'shamet. Say Meshamet any. What's the, here, find the Lashon of the Rashba, Taf of Lamed Vav. Amud Beis, he says, "Bishum shetzarch lo mashamin neisvila makshel nu akira ve'ina shevi al tase." Ah, it's a kumva asay. It's not a shevi al tase because you have to be mashamit the chov. And then he says, "What's the maskana?" That in the maskana he says, "Lufika chamar shevi al tase v'lo chamar shevi al tase shiny." The chiddush shevi al tase who klomer ein ze elo shevi al tase she'ein ikar dorsh olmer loze al tigba chovcha. It's a Shevi Al Tasa. We tell the Malva not to collect. Rashi said differently. Why did Rashi say differently? He says, Shevi Al Tasa, we tell the Lova not to pay. Says Rashi, Halova, the Shevi Bata, Elva, Eno, Osa, Mitzvah, Lefras, Kolvo. So we have a three mara chlokas, as it were. There's the Havamina. Maybe that's even what Rava holds. And why he didn't say like Abaye. Hard to tell. Havamina is a Kumba say, to be a Shamit Yerchov, Kamashal and Shevi Al Tasa. But how? Rashba says, Shevi Al Tasa, the Malva doesn't collect. Rashi says, Shevi Al Tasa, the Lova doesn't pay. Now, of course, they're both right. There's not a fun, you know, technically, maybe there's no machloket. You know, they're both right. They're both Shevi Al Tasa. I don't collect and you don't pay. But obviously, they're trying to focus on different things. Now, here, you can't guarantee this enough, Kamina, because the Rashba actually doesn't work out, Lashitase. But nonetheless, I would say one thing for sure. The having is very clear. If you call it a kumva asei to be mishamit, say mishamit ani, to call Shemitah's Ksafim a kumva asei is the Urayim. The Urayim would say it's a kumva asei. That's the Havamina. The Chov is there. I have to be mishamit it. I have to forgive it. That's kumva asei. What about Lamaskana, that Shevi Al Tasa, according to Avai at least? So here, I would think, if you say, like the Urayim, what's the Shevi Al Tasa, that I don't collect. After all, I don't really have to say mishamit any if you don't offer. I just have to not collect. So according to the Urayim, I would be more likely to say Shevi Al Tasa, the Malva doesn't collect. While according to the Urzaruah, what's the Shevi Al Tasa? That there's no Chov, so the Lova doesn't have to pay. Okay, in which case, Rashi would work better for the Urzaruah, the Rashi would work better for the Urayim. Okay, I admit, in the Havmin, it's a very, very clear enough Kamin. In the Maskana, it could be a more subtle issue, and after all, everyone agrees they're both Shevi Al Tasa. But, you know, maybe not for the Rashba, but for other Rishonim, if we figure out what everyone says, you know, perhaps this might tie into this Chakira. Okay, let's move on to, we'll erase the board, another very crucial question that the Menachas Chinuch deals with, which is, it's almost just repeating what I said before. Do I owe the money or do I not owe the money? Is there a loan or is there not a loan after Shemitah? So, says the Minchas Chinuch, if it's afkata de Malka, therefore I don't owe the money. I don't owe you any money. The loan is mamish gone. Well, of course, according to the Yerayim, it's a chiv gavri mochel. But the loan is, but the loan is still there. I do owe the money. Okay. The reason why is the Chaim showed me, he read to me from the Masifta and Shir today, and Rav Eliyav told me earlier he saw this. There's Rav Nachum, Nachum Brasovich, from the Mir, meaning one door ago, who wanted to like say no. Even if it's Kata de Malka, you still owe the money. Because the Efkata de Malka is not that the loan is canceled, just that the Zuchus Gevia, the right to collect the loan, is canceled. It's like a loan that's not collectible. Okay, that's fancy schmancy. So I'll make him a little dotted line just, you know, so Dovi LeBret won't be mad at me that I ignored what they say in the mirror. That he says, maybe it's a Vakata de Malka, but you still owe the money. And he has a big subtle chiddush, the Vakata de Malka of the Zuchus Gevia, not of the Chov itself. I think that's big. That's a big chiddush. The Pasha says, no, this is the same Chakira. That if it's a Kata de Malka, one of the Orzareim, Orzarua, and the Shut Rashba, and the Bino Vigdor, and the Minchas Chinuch, big fan of this, that means that you don't owe the money anymore. If it's just a Chiv Gavralim, well, you do owe the money, as the Reim said. You just aren't supposed to collect it. Nafkamina is the famous issue of the Minchas Chinuch. Is it Gezel if you collect? Avad, if I collect the money after Shemitah, I violate a law of Luigos, and an assay of Shamot. Do I violate the law of Gezel? Says the Minchas Chinuch, Hishita, Avad, you violate the law of Gezel. There's no Chov. If I collect money that you don't owe me, I violate the law of Gezel. According to your Reim, it's Pashin. You wouldn't violate the law of Gezel. What do you mean you owe me the money? I violate the law of Shemitah, but not the law of Gezel. What's the Nafkamina? The Nafkamina is an amazing Nafkamina. Do I have to return the money if I collect it? I broke Shemitah. I'm a Machalal Shemitah. Chas v'shalom. And I collected the loan after Shemitah without a principal. I didn't write a prosel, I collected the loan. If it's the, according to the Ur Zebura, it's Gezel. I took money that wasn't owed to me. So I have to give it back. But according to the Urayim, why should I have to give it back? I took money that was mine, that you owed me. I violated a din of Shemitah. Doesn't mean I have to give it back. Every time you violate a chi of Gavra, you don't have to undo it. That's lava nita glase. Sometimes the Torah says you have to undo your chi of Gavra. Right, lava nita klase, but not usually. Usually, if I did a lava, I did the lava. If I built a house on Shabbos, I don't have to dismantle it. I did the lava, I did the lava. Hey, you don't have to undo every lava. Right, if I, if I eat pork, I don't have to take, syrup of ipecac and then vomit it out. No, if I did the lava, I did the lava. Well, I don't have to return it. This is a tremendous nafkamina. It's something discussed by all of the modern day poskim. Amazing nafkamina of the modern day poskim, which is, what about a guy who becomes a balchuga? Ma'isim chayyam, baruch Hashem, ten yerbu. Guys, 60 years old, becomes a balchuga. 47 years, could be 9 shmitas since his bar mitzvah. He never wrote a prosel because he wasn't from. And people owed him money, collected the loan. Okay, maybe he lent money to this friend, that friend. Maybe like he had a store and he kept tabs on people and he gave them, if you owe money to a store, that's a subtlety. It's a big ochok shushon. What does it mean? Zakav alav b'milva. If you turn it from a bill, a grocery bill, a retail bill, into a loan, which without getting into the details, then Shemitah's Mashami. This guy might have had a business, might have extended credit, might be tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of shekels. By now it's going to be 1 million shekel that he collected after Shemitah without a prosbol. Now that he came from, does he have to give all the money back? Says Reb Chaim Kanievsky in the Derech Emuna, in the Bir Halacha part. Derech Emuna is like a Mishnah Berurah on the Rambam's Seder Zohar. So there's 3 parts, just like Mishnah Berurah. There's the Derech Emuna, which is the Halachos, like Mishnah Berurah. There's the footnotes of the Maror Shaar Tzion. There's the Bir Halacha on the side. The last Bir Halacha, if I'm not mistaken, in Perek Tes, which is the Shemitah Ksaf in Perek, of Shemitah V'Yovel, he says, if a guy becomes a Baal Tshuva, he has to go all the money he ever collected his whole life for 47 years. After Shemitah, when he didn't write a prosbul because he wasn't from, he has to go and return it. Okay? No one agrees with him. No one agrees with him. There's a metahalachic principle called Takanas HaShavim. We always try to find kulas to be makel when people want to do tshuva. Because if you say you can do tshuva, it'll cost you 1 million shekel. The guy will say, forget it, I'll stay not from. So he was trying to make it easier for people to do tshuva. It's found all over Chazal. The It doesn't mean you can invent new halacha. You can't reform the halacha, but you try to find it's tzad l'hakel when you can. All the posts were making on this. The Sefer Shvitas Kaf Yochasa quotes this from Rav Nasha Klein, quotes this from a bunch of other Rabbanim, Rav Shlomo Zalman passing this way in his Mincha Shlomo in Masechta Shvitas, Perek Yud Halacha Gimel, I think. The Minchas Asher passes this way in his Minchas Asher and Shvias. All the other poskim say, no, we have a tzad l'hakel, the guy doesn't have to give the money back. What's a tzad l'hakel? There are two main tzad l'hakel, and everyone throws in other things as well. The biggest tzad l'hakel is what we learned 5 shiurim ago, maybe. The Ravid, the Balamar. Maybe there is no Shvitas Sofim Zman Hazeh. Right, remember, back in the old country, in hundreds of years in Jewish history, in the time of the Rishonim, and Svarad, and Provence, maybe in some parts of Ashkenaz, in the time of the Achronim, in the time of the Ramban, Ashkenaz, no one wrote a prosbul, and everyone collected their loan. They were just so make that there's no Shvitas Sof Mizman Hazeh, and the Ravid and the Balamor were willing to paskin that way. So, okay, maybe, B'dievet, B'shas Adchak, if you somach on the day, there is no such thing as Shvitas Sof Mizman Hazeh. Certainly, if he's already holding the money, say, Kimli, say, you know, if there's one sheet on my side, I don't have to return it. That's one shot. What was their second biggest tzad l'hakel? They all point out the Urayim. Ah, this whole shayla is only a shayla according to the Minchas Chinuch, the Ozer, etc. If you assume that it's Avkata de Malka, it's Memela Nishmat, then if you don't owe me money and I collect it, it's Gezel. If it's Gezel, I have to return it. But if you collect the Urayim, it's not Gezel, it's my money. I just violated a lav and an assay by collecting it. Okay, you know what? This poor Baal Tshuva, he also was Mechal Shabbos before he's from. He also ate treif before he's from. He did a lot of Averos. Okay, so now Hashem forgave him because he's Baal Tshuva. He doesn't have to undo them. So he didn't have Averos Shemitah, but he didn't steal someone's money. It was his money. Therefore, he doesn't have to return it. So that's a big nafkamina. The second biggest tzad l'hakel for this Baal Tshuva is because maybe the Chaschina's wrong. Maybe the Urayim's right and it's not Gezel. He doesn't have to return it. This also ties into a number of things in our sugya. We've mentioned, we opened up this morning with the machlok is about afal pikein. What is this special chiddush for sugya? It's not chiddush for sugya, it's according to Mishnah from Shvius. If the guy, the lowest is afal pikein, then the malva could take the money. And we saw machlokis. What is that afal pikein? Is it a pibron afal pikein? I want to pay anyway. Or is it a matana bialma? Afal pikein, even though I don't want to pay, I want to give you a matana for the same amount of money. Why would you think it's a pibron afal pikein? I'm paying you anyway. Afal pikein means nonetheless I'm paying you. But on the other hand, Abaye says you have to say matana, no sincha v'lo b'chovi. So it's before Abaye that it's a matana bialma. Right? This is exactly this chakira. If you say the chov disappears and you don't owe money, then what's afal pikein? It's a matana. But if you say the chov is still there, there's just a chiv gavra to forgive the chov. Okay, there's a chiv gavra if you forgive the chov, but forgive it. But if he says af bikain, then he's mochel, the chiv gavra, and now I can collect my chov. And now it's a real piron. And it's hard to be medayik. Sometimes people say matana, maybe they just mean free will piron. They say piron, maybe they just mean it's really a matana. But we point out Tosas Yontif, he quoted the Bartanura and the Rash, and the Rash Mishans on the Mishnah, who both said, I want to pay you back the loan. And he said, they're wrong. Don't say pay back the loan. It's only Davka Matana. Sounds like, why is he getting so upset at them? Because he really thinks, not just a nice Lashon of Matana, he really thinks Pilum is really Matana. And that fits Abaye, that it's a Matana. Okay, that's a pop shot in Abaye. Tosas Yontif says it's a really Matana. That makes sense for the Ozarua. There is no loan. So how can he pay it back? He can't pay it back and give him Matana. Ah, mehechet is the matana. Okay, there's a moral principle of tov neged tov and ra neged ra. If the guy gave you money and was nice, then you should give him money as a matana and be nice. If the guy was nice enough to lend you $100, you're nice enough to give matana $100, mida keneged mida. But it has nothing to do with the loan, it's a matana v'yalma. However, the Mishnah Rishona jumps on the Tosas Yontif and says, you're wrong. It's not a matana, it's a piron. What's his proof? His proof is, there's a special drusha from the pasuk that after you say meshamidani, the guy says afal pikein, you're allowed to take the money. If it's a matana, you don't need a pasuk telling you you're allowed to take the money. I'm allowed to take any matana I want. You give me a birthday present or non-birthday present. Anyone can take matanos. obviously, if the pasuk is matering it, that means that it must be a piro. Then you need a pasuk to be mater, because we svara, how can I take a piron after Shemitah? So the Mishnah Rishonah really means to be wrong. So this is exactly enough green. This chakira. If you say like yours are ruah, there's no chov. Say like tosos yantiv. Afal pikin is matana. But if you say like yireim, there is a chov. I just have a chiv gavra on me. Afal pikin means a mochel chiv gavra. Now I can collect my chov. It's a real piraon, and that affects the chakira we put on the board last time. Right, everything we put on the board last time. Now we're gonna see the lumdus behind it. We asked whether the drush of Dvar Shemitah, or M'dayik and Rishonim, is that a chumra or a kula? Is that a chiyav or a heter? Meaning, is it that misva, a chumra? Really misvar you could collect, but it's a chumra that you have to say Mishamani first. Or is it a kula misvar you can't collect, but it's a kula that after you say Mishamani, now you're allowed to collect. So this lachur was an afgamina of Matana versus Piron. If you say that it's a Matana, then misvara, I can take any matana I want. That's exactly Mishnah Rishonah's taina. He just didn't realize you could read it as a chumra instead of a heter, instead of a kula. If afal pikin is a matana, then what's the drush of dvara shmita? It's a chumra on the malveh. Ah, misvara, you can take a matana whenever you want. But the Torah's extra machmirai shmita, you can't even take a matana until you say mishamanani and make it very clear that it shouldn't even look like a violation of shmita. However, if you say piron, then you can really go either way. But maybe you could say that it is a kula, right? If you say it's a piron, you could also say that it's a chumra. Misvar, you're allowed to take a piron as long as you didn't force him, because you didn't do lo yigos. And the chumra, that even if you didn't force him, you have to say mishamani first. But you could also say no. It's a kula. Misvara, you're not allowed to take a piron. How can I be nifra after shmita? I'm not makayim shamot kol ba'al mashayado. It's a kula that after I say mishamanani, now I'm allowed to take a piron and I'm patterned from the asay, the chobas gavra of shmita's ksafim. Okay, this is already more of a nafkamina of a nafkamina, right? According to the Arzarur, you don't know any money, so afal pikin is a matana. And if afal pikin is a matana, then the drush must be a chumra that even though it's a matana, I have to say some word, two words, mishamanani. If you say like the Urayim, then afal pikin is a real piron lachora. And if afal pikin is a piron, then it's possible to say that Dvar Shemitah is not being mechayiv the malva something. It's being mater the malva something. That even though piron misvar should be usher, but he can take a piron if he says mishamanani first. Okay, the next three nafkaminas, 13 to 15, are all one big nafkamina, which is, it's not mochach, it's a general intuition. What's a general intuition? Tolilei. There are three machlokas we've shown about tolilei. Right? There's the machlokas, what it means, Rashi versus the Orach and most we've shown him versus the Ravid. Then there's other machlokas of whether Abai pulled a trick at Abba Bar Marta or not. Remember, we had all that on the board. What's a basic intuition? The basic intuition to me is Pashat. This is a nafkamina of Matana versus Biron. It's also a nafkamina of a nafkamina. There's all nafkaminas of 11. If you say that, if you say that it's a Matana, it seems to me that you shouldn't be allowed to pressure someone to give you a Matana. How much can you pressure someone to give you a matana? It's not some estaber that you should be allowed to pressure someone to give you a matana. And therefore, I'd be more restrictive. I would say, you know what? Don't allow so much pressure to give a matana. Because after all, it's not right to pressure someone to give you a matana. The more I see afal pikin as a piron, the more likely I am to say, it's a piron. He's just paying what he owes. Okay, we have to get rid of this pesky chobas gavra by saying some magic words. Or maybe not so magic words. Saying some relevant words. But he really owes the money. If he owes the money, it might be more makel, it might be more liberal in allowing pressure. If he really owes the money, you can pressure him a little to pay money here where he really owes. So basically, 13 to 15 are all the same intuition. If it's a matana, then it seems to me I shouldn't let you pressure someone to give you a matana so much. But if it's more of a piron, I should let you pressure a little more. Not a lot, but a little more to someone to pay back a halva. What is that? Nafkamina, 13. Forgetting about Rashi for now. Most Rishonim versus the Ravid. Assuming Rashi's super radical, right? Very counterintuitive. Most Rishonim were the Ravid. Am I allowed to put psychological pressure? Most Rishonim say Tolilei means the Malva could psychologically pressure the Lover to pay. What did the Ravid say? Rav says, no, chas v'shalom, he can't even psychologically pressure him to pay. Adrabah, even if he already paid, he has to offer the money back. That's talilei. So maybe this is dependent on the chakira. If you say it's matana, then maybe more likely, again, there's one more likely to say like the Ravid. Ah, matana, you can't psychologically pressure someone to give you a matana. So what does talilei mean? You don't pressure him. Adrabah, even if he gives it to you, you offer to give it back. Because you don't want to, you want to exert negative pressure. Tell him he mamish doesn't have to give you the matana. But if you say it's a piron, then the most you shouldn't make more sense. Ah, if it's mamish a piron, you're just asking for your own money back. And you have a way to get out of the chobas gavra, because you said mishamanani. Yeah, if you're asking for your own money back, then it's okay to use psychological pressure. After all, it's your money. He really owes it to you. The other nafkamina be a trick, tachbula. Right? Are you allowed to trick someone into saying afal pikein? Remember that machlokes, where Pinchas Levi says, chas v'shalom, to trick someone. And the Meir says, of course he tricked him. We see from here, you're allowed to trick. Okay, if it's more of a piron, it makes sense. You should trick someone into paying their loan. After all, they're paying their loan. Why not? If it's more matana, then maybe it's a chashal to trick someone into giving matana. That doesn't seem ethical to me. Say like Pinchas Levi, that he wasn't tricking him. He was just helping him do what he wanted to do anyway. And number 15, the last nafkamina could be Rashi, right? Rashi's very radical. You can mamash, it's not psychological pressure, physical pressure, hanging from a tree. Although I did notice two Rishonim agreed with Rashi. Still, she just yachid. You can't say it's crazy. Three Rishonim, Tosfos written on the side of the page we read last time. And then I saw in the Or Zeruah. The Or Zeruah that's on the Makor sheet, just, I stopped too early. I should have put another five lines. Because then, after he says, I disagree with the Urim, he then says, like, just, you know, the next thing he discusses, not connected intrinsically, he says, oh, but I agree with Rashi. He doesn't quote Rashi by name. It says, if the guy offers you the money and you say, and he doesn't say FLP cane, you can hang him from a tree. You can physically force him to say FLP cane. Okay, this Rashi is very, very difficult. If it's a matana, it's much harder to justify. Mamish, you can force someone to give you a matana. The Pharisee Yaakov justifies it. He says, yes, you can force someone to give you a matana, because it's not a matana. In exchange, he gets ruchacham noche menu, so it's like a good deal, so you can force him to do it. But that's, I think, harder. If it's a loan, then it's a little easier to justify. Rashi's still very radical, but a little easier to justify if it's mamish a loan. Because after all, you're only forcing him to pay back the loan that he really owes. So maybe you could say, I don't know, well, once he was mochel l'chi of gavrav shmita, now he totally owes the money, so of course you can force him. Or maybe you could just say, but I want to say, maybe in Tosfos read, you can force someone to pay a loan as long as you got rid of your chi of gavra. Now Taka, here I'm a little not sure, because Rashi himself really sounds more like Tiferes Yaakov. You know, I want to say Tiferes Yaakov is more dachok, and the other Ezbeirim are better. Rashi himself says, you're not telling him to pay as a chov. You're telling him to pay as a non-chov, which really sounds more like Tiferes Yaakov. Okay, but at least be Svara, I would have thought that it's much harder to justify Rashi, and Tiferes Yaakov is much more dachok if it's a matana. And maybe you could, a little easier to justify him, if it's the alpha. Those are the nafkaminas. Okay, someone pointed out in Shir. Another nafkamina that was brought up by someone, one of the Makoros. How about a Yorish? Okay, we'll get into Yorshin next time. But one particular case. How about, let's take the classic, very clear case. A guy, I owed someone money, he died. Now his son inherits the loan. After Shemitah, he died after Shemitah without a principal. He can't collect. His son inherits the loan, can his son collect? So if you say like the Or Zeruah, Pasha, his son can't collect. Right? Pasha, his son can't collect. After all, there is no loan, it was canceled. If the loan was canceled, he inherited nothing from his father. Of course his son can't collect. But if you say like the Urim, it's a chi of gavra to forgive the loan. I owed his father money, and I still owe his father money, until he says Meshamanani. And his father never said Meshamanani. Is all if his father didn't say Meshamanani, and it's nafkamina. So now you could say the Chi of Gavra also transfers to the Yorish, but you could say the Chi of Gavra doesn't, Ulai. Maybe the Chi of Gavra doesn't transfer to the Yorish. The father is chayiv to forgive the loan. The son now inherited is not chayiv to give the loan. Now all of a sudden I didn't have to pay, and now I do have to pay. That's definitely a strong possibility according to the Urim. Okay, these are some nafkaminas in this famous, famous chakir. I just want to end with possibility maybe they're tzvei dinim. Maybe both sides are correct. How so? I have four different ways of justifying that. One is the Rush, as the Ktzos makes very explicit. The Rush, famous, infamous sheet of the Rush. Right here, Simon Chaf Aleph, I think it was, says the Rush against everyone else in the world. Right? The Rush quotes, that the that I think it's a Tosefta. Right here, one second. Semen, Chaf Aleph, if I'm not mistaken, says the, no, Semen Chaf I meant, sorry, Chaf Aleph is the totally different Mishnah. He says that there is a, where is it? Sorry. Okay, the there's okay. He doesn't quote the okay. There's Tosefta that says when you write a prose bowl, Erev Rosh Hashanah Shvius. Everyone else understand it means like this coming Sunday, 3 days from now. Erev Rosh Hashanah of Shvius, meaning Erev Rosh Hashanah when the Erev is during Shvius, not the Rosh Hashanah of Shvius. Or the Erev Rosh Hashanah that ends Shvius. You call it Rosh Hashanah Shal Shvius, the Rosh Hashanah after Shvius. It means the last day of Shemitah. The Rosh says, no, you write a prose bowl on before Shemitah. Some people have this chumer. It's a popular Shivish chumer nowadays to write a prose bowl also before Shemitah starts. Why? Isn't it first that Shemitah is only Misham Pesofo? The Shmatz Achov is only Chal at the end of Shvius? Says Rosh, no, there's Tvei Dinim and Shemitah. He clearly says Tvei Dinim and Shemitah. What that has to do with our Chakira, you know, is the Ktosats. Although it's Pashup Shat. He says there's Tzvi Dinim in Shemitah. The Shemitah is at the end of the Shemitah year. That's when the loan disappears. But Miyad Shehischila Shas Shemitah Ein Beizin Bulkin Lig Bos Shum Chov Gamal Va'atzva Ein Lo Ligos Halov D'Chsev Lo Yigos Esavei Esachiv Kikar Shemitah L'Hashem. The Chov exists, but you can't collect it from the beginning of the Shemitah year. At the end of the Shemitah year, the Chov is gone. Says the Ktos, this is Tzvi Dinim. He says the Inyan Tanai, he says, one din is called Mammon, one din is categorized as Mammon, one din is categorized as Isser, says the Ksos. The Ksos explains, Pashup Shat on the Rosh, Tvei Dinim. One din is the whole, it starts from a year ago, starts from the beginning of Shemitah, that's an Isser. The loan is fully there, it's just Usser to collect. The second din is Mammonos at the end of the year, then the loan disappears. Could be, this may be a little crazy, remember we had that funny shot of the Rosh Mishantz, who said, when is, you say, Meshamed Ani, on the last day of Shemitah? Everyone says, what do you mean the last day of Shemitah? Shemitah is not Meshamed, except the sofa in the last minute. What's the last day of Shemitah? Maybe the Rosh Mishantz, his first day, held a mini version of this Rosh. Not for a year, but for a day. Maybe he thinks the last day of Shemitah, there's an Isser Gavra. Last day of Shemitah, there's an Isser Gavra to collect. You have to say Meshamed Ani. But when Shemitah ends, the loan is gone entirely. Okay, so that I'm not sure. But the Rosh for sure, Tzvei Dinim, Isser Gavra during Shemitah, and Avkata the Malka at the end of Shemitah. Another way of saying Tzvei Dinim, which I mentioned before, Torah Shiram says this within Rashi. We had the Torah Shiram, the Makor sheet a few shiurim ago. He says, this is basically his version of the Orzeruah. He says within the Orzeruah, Tzvei Dinim, there's always Tzvei Dinim. The Chov is Nishmat Me'ilav, the Chov disappears, and also there's a separate Isser to collect it. Not that the Isser is just Gezel. No. The Chov disappears, there's an Isser Gezel, and there's also a special Isser to collect loans after they disappeared. And it's always an Isser plus a plus a Mammon, plus an Avkata D'Malka. The Torah Sorum uses this to explain the Lashon of Rashi in a few places, such as Lam Vav and Aleph. Rashi says, how does Prozal work? Because Bezin's collecting, not you, so you don't violate Lo Yigos and Hefker Bezin Hefker. The way I explain that Rashi is, it works because Bezin collects, not you, and Bezin is not Chayiv and Lo Yigos. But how can Bezin collect if no one owes them money? Someone owes you money, someone doesn't owe Bezin money. Don't say Bezin collecting is your Shliach, because then you violate Lo Yigos. It says, Bezin collects, because Hefker Bezin Hefker. And they're allowed to collect whatever they want. I read Rashi as one Inyan. Which I still believe. Now, the Torah's Rambam said, no, the way he read Rashi is there's Tzvei Dinim. There's an Isser, and there's Avkas Mamon, and there's Avkata D'Malka. What's Rashi saying? As far as the Isser, there's no Isser on you because Bezin's collecting, and there's no Isser on Bezin. Besides the issue, what about the Efkata de Malka? There's no loan. Oh, Hefker Bezin Hefker takes care of Efkata de Malka. And the fact that Bezin is exempt from Loyigos takes care of the Yisr. So he says it's always Tvedin. And then fascinatingly, that there are two deus, a Rishon and Achron, who are Mechalikin Shemitah Doraisa and Drabanan. Doraisa when there's a Yovel and Drabanan nowadays. One is the Balamor. The Balamor thinks there is no Shemitah nowadays. But nonetheless, he says, those who say, the Balamor quoted in the Sefer Trumos, right? I took one paragraph. It doesn't say this Losh of the Balamor, because three paragraphs ago it says, here's the truth of the Balamor. One paragraph later says, Adkan Lashono. So this is the middle of the Balamor. He says, even if you think there is Shemitah, Bezman Azemi Drabanan, you should know it's not the same as Shemitah Doraisa. What does he say? Shemitah Doraisa was strong, Afkata Damalka. Shemitah Doraisa, the Urza Ruhr was right. Afkata Damalka, the Torah erased the loan. Shemitah Drabanan, that's very weak. It's not Afkata Damalka. There's still a loan. There's just an Isser Gavra that you're not supposed to. That you're not supposed to collect it. And therefore he says, nowadays, even if there is Shemitah Drabanan nowadays, it's very weak. You still have to pay back the loan unless you forgive it. Because it's just a Chiv Gavra to forgive, but the loan still exists. So he says to your, or Zavura was right in the days of Shemitah Doraisa, but nowadays when Shemitah Drabanan, even according to those who say Shemitah Drabanan, the Urayim is correct. The Shut Tofos for Aim by Rav Aaron Moshe, Rav Aaron Moshe Trivis. He's not someone I just invented. In your standard handy-dandy Vilna Shas, if you just turn to the Marsha pages, okay, I know some of us don't turn to the Marsha pages so often, but right in the Marsha, there's a Karnei Re'eim on the Marsha. Okay, in the Vilna Shas, they print the Marsha with Karnei Re'eim. What is it in the title page? They added many, many, many important mefarshim, and one of them here, there's a lot of them, they're in very small print. They added the Karni Re'im to Rav Gon Moreinu Aaron Moshe Toibish. Av Bezdin of Yasi. Baal Mechaber, Shotovos Re'im. That's what it says in the title page, the back title page of my Vilna Shas. The Karni Re'im by someone who's so famous, he wrote the Shotovos Re'im. Kol Ha'aris Al Marsha V'chidush Gefes. Gemara, Pirush Rashi, and Tosos. Okay, so that's Tofos for Aim. Again, Av Bezin of Yasi doesn't mean a lot to us nowadays. There's probably no Jews left in Yasi. But he was obviously very famous. In the Tofos for Aim, he discusses the Urayim, the Urzor, and he says, I'll make a Pshara. What does he call a Pshara? He calls it a Hakra. I'll make a Pshara, Hakra. What is his Pshara in the Shut Tofos for Aim? He says, well, the difference between Doraisa and Drabanan. Back to Doraisa, that was very strong. Nowadays, Drabanan, it's a little different. But he says the opposite. In the Doraisa, the din was like the Urayim. Well, Doraisa is like really strong. Mamash achiv on the Gavra. Now, you still owe the money. Doraisa, Mamash puts a mitzvah on you. But me, Drabanan, then they're not putting a mitzvah on you. They're just using hefker bezin hefker. Hefker bezin hefker means they're just mafkia. That's what he says. Hachra, meaning a pshara. Exactly, Urayim. The chov is still there. Torah gives mamash an iser. The chacham are weaker. It's not really an iser. It's just a takana. You don't have to be mochel. It's just mofka b'meila. Hafka gemura. Mimela, automatically. Okay, so it's funny. They both think the Rabbanan is weaker, but they have two opposite approaches. The Talmud says, the Doraisa is like the Urzurua. The Rabbanan is just like the Urayim. Tovos Urayim says, Doraisa is like the Urayim. Mamish chiyuvim, isurim, mitzvah. The Rabbanan is just dinimamun, just like the Urzurua. Okay, but here we've seen that it's possible to say tzvei dinim. Okay, you could really, the little bit idach perusha zilgmor here, go find every shita, and then maybe there are other ways of combination that we haven't mentioned here and in betweens. But this is basically the main lumdus of Shemitah Ksafim. We didn't get to finish the Makoros, but we have two shiurim left. We have next Thursday, and we have the Monday, 2 days before Yom Kippur. And that's year, we'll finish Lam Zayin Rebeis, go back and do Lam Zayin Amin Aleph, and finish all the sugyas in Gittin of Prizbal and Shemitah Ksafim, Be'ezrat Hashem. And meanwhile, I will wish everyone Maksiva Chsiva Tova, La'alter, L'chaim Tovim, U'l'shalom, and Sheyimah Le'Hashem, Komoshalosh Libeinu Le'Tova, and it should be a year of Besoros Tova, Shishuas, and Nechamos for us and for Klal Yisrael.